You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Two cheers for technology. That's what the psalmist said, and added three cheers for God.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Father, thanks for the good things of earth and heaven to be used for the benefit of mankind. Give us faith and intelligence to use everything with a saving purpose, your saving purpose in Jesus Christ. Grant us grace to be your sons and daughters by faith in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Technology has become a bad word these days. Poets and preachers run it down. They talk about the dehumanizing effects of technology upon human life. And some wistfully recall simpler days when things were supposed to be better. Today I want to say, two cheers for technology. That's what the psalmist said, only to add, three cheers for God. Looking at the universe, at the marvels it contains, and the magnificent possibilities it presents to man, the psalmist said, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy creatures. Two cheers for technology, and three cheers for God. A lot of things are happening in the world that never happened before. You can travel around the world in 48 hours on regularly scheduled airlines. In Turkey, I talked to a man who was building a great oil refinery on the Aegean Sea with American plans, using Russian equipment, hiring personnel from Turkey, Germany, Italy, and a half dozen other countries. Flights to the moon and experiments in outer space with manned vehicles that now pass back and forth to a sky lab orbiting the Earth are becoming almost commonplace. Only the liftoff and the splashdown get very much attention. The rest of this highly technical adventure hardly makes the front pages of the newspaper. Human technology has certainly come into its own in the 20th century. Most of it began at the beginning of this century. There was the incandescent bulb, then the motor car, then radio. There was an enormous upsurge in the use of various forms of energy, water power, coal, oil, electricity, and eventually release of the unbelievable energy in the nucleus of the atom. Human technology depends altogether on the resources placed by God into this world of ours, obeying the laws He has established for each and every one. It's wonderful to see what has happened. The marvels of applied science and engineering. Two cheers for technology, but three cheers for God. Technology alone is not going to give us a better world. Indeed, some people wonder whether the world won't be swamped by its own technology. Is it possible that people will bury themselves in the drive to produce things? With the best of intentions, humanity can destroy itself. What can be a blessing can also be turned into a baleful monster. When we forget the purpose of things, we lose track of what life is all about. That can happen. Technology often gets the blame for what we are doing to ourselves. Technology is not the problem. People are. Things were made by God to serve people. If things are misused, it is people that abuse them. People turn from God to things He has made, looking to things for the deeper satisfactions of life. That's when the trouble begins. When people allow themselves to be dominated by things, to worship things, to seek nothing but things, making things the measure of life, you get a world like the one we have, where materialism has almost become the religion of mankind. College education, for example, is a wonderful thing. When it becomes merely the means to produce and acquire things, it loses its purpose. Unless young people acquire a greater understanding of life through a college education, what value does that education really have? The psalmist was not taken in by all this worship of technology. At the same time, he did not write off the things God has made or the ingenuity of man to use those things. What he said was, "Lord, You have made so many things. How wisely You made them all. The earth is filled with Your creatures." I say with the psalmist today, 2 cheers for technology. 3 cheers for God. With God, it's great. Without God, it's nothing, or worse than nothing. The natural resources of the earth have been put there by God for the use of mankind. They were meant to be enjoyed and to be used. One of the first things God said about the natural resources He put into the earth was, "Use them and control them." He is the Creator, He is. He created with love. If I read the Scriptures correctly, He created the world through that Word of His, who became flesh, even His Son, Jesus Christ. Without Him, that is Jesus Christ, was not even one thing made that was made. Everything has a purpose, therefore, including that little thing we call the atom. Atomic energy is a terrific thing. It can be used or abused. The use of it requires a lot of ingenuity and a lot of care. The atom calls for almost reverent care, not just as another thing, but something great created by God for the beneficial use of mankind. Technology itself is not God. Some people talk about it as if it were God. Everything has to serve the purposes of technology, they say, and production is the end of all existence. Don't you believe it? The things God has made deserve better of us than to be used merely to get ahead in this world of ours. Energy needs to be husbanded and to be used wisely. Things were made wisely by God and were meant to be used wisely by man. It is probably a measure of the waywardness of our world that we think we can do anything with the things God has made and never have to pay the penalty for that lack of wisdom. We have been able to do some wonderful things. With hydraulic engineering, we can make water run uphill. We can make jumbo jets that keep on flying hour after hour. We can produce an electric shaver that will do almost as good a job as the old-time straight-edge razor and a lot more quickly. We can sit down to breakfast in the morning and have a glass of instant orange juice. We have a technology that has some people talking about going to the moon and others about going back to the boondocks. Some people are talking dreamily about going back to the land and working it, not with tractors, but with their hands. This is supposed to get us back to the simpler forms of life. It's the old idea, I suppose, of the noble savage all over again, propagated years ago by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. The fact is that the savage was no happier than the man of today, caught in the toils of know-how without knowing who or why or what. Yet we still have people around who say that if man was intended to fly, God would have given him wings. The psalmist would have rejoiced at the things man has been able to do with the things God has made. How great, he said, and how complex are the things God has made. He did it in all wisdom. The earth is full of His creation. 2 cheers for those things and what they can do for man. but 3 cheers for God, who has given them all to us for use with intelligence and wisdom. Technology is not the problem. People are. Where is the wisdom today that enables people to understand themselves? To hear some people talk, you would think the feeling of human guilt went out with a horse and buggy. Probably no age in the history of the world has ever been weighed down with such a massive sense of guilt as this present age. If you don't see that, you have missed everything. What about people in this age of technology? Are things going to save us? What does the future hold? Hope or horror? Technology does not have the answer to that one. Are we the victims of forces beyond our control? Or are we, as the Bible keeps saying, created by God and necessarily dependent upon Him if we are to be truly human? It's about time all of us got to thinking about that. People don't want to be dependent upon God. They would rather be dependent on themselves. That's why technology is admired and revered in the modern world. It's become almost a substitute for God. People don't want to be dependent upon God because they know Him only as the judge holding them to account for what they are and for what they have done. They have a right to feel that way. We are accountable to Him, and nothing is going to change that. The great good news, which gave the psalmist reason for hope, is that the God who holds us to account showers the world with His mercy and love. The radiance of His grace illuminates life. We see that in Jesus Christ. When the Son of God came, the grace of God came with Him. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. The Son gave His life when He came in this dark world of ours. He gave it for us. He atoned for the sins of the world, including the sin of misuse of everything good God has made. He gave people a new way of life, not depending upon themselves, but accepting the grace of God, which is in Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness and there's life in Jesus Christ. To have Jesus Christ and to follow Him is to have forgiveness for the past and hope for the future. And now that's life. When you see God that way, as the psalmist did, creator and redeemer of mankind, you begin to see everything differently. The things of the earth get a new face. They were made by God for a good purpose. Man was given intelligence by God to use those things for good purpose. Technology has a purpose. 2 cheers for technology and 3 cheers for God. Psalm 104, from which this text comes today, talks about God exuberantly. He covers Himself with light as with a garment. The heavens are a great big tent, and the oceans a great expanse where countless creatures live, large and small alike. All of them, said the psalmist, depend on You, O God, to give them food when they need it. When You turn away, they are afraid. When You hold back Your breath, they die and go back to the soil they came from. When You give them breath, they live to give life to the earth. From heaven, He added, You send down rain on the mountains and the bubbling brooks go chattering down the mountainsides. The earth is filled with Your blessings. You make grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to use, so he can grow his crops and produce wine to make him happy, olive oil to make him cheerful, and bread to give him strength. The winds are Your messengers and flashes of lightning Your servants. I know that's not the way a lot of people look at the world today. Ogden Nash once wrote, as the bull said to the weevil, get yourself born before the beginning or after the end, but never in the middle of a technological upheaval. I am here to say, in this technological age, now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. God does not call us to go back to what was. He calls us to repentance for the past and faith for the future. Try as we will, we shall not make a better world on our own. Only with faith in God can we live. By faith in God, we shall live. How wisely God has made everything in this world of ours. Give us wisdom to use those things and to make things. Give us wisdom, O God, to make things and use them with full appreciation of Your saving and loving purpose in the world. With all of our devotion to wealth, prosperity, more goods, more profits, more abundance, more inflation. People in this technological age are pretty much in the position of that leader of a group of boys hiking through the woods, who happily announced to his young followers, "We're here, we've arrived," only to have one bringing up the end of the column ask his innocent question, "Where are we, anyway?" Yes, where are we? Looking at life, as poets sometimes do, T.S. Eliot once wrote, "Endless invention, endless experiment, brings knowledge of motion, but not of stillness. Knowledge of speech, but not of silence. All our knowledge brings us nearer to our ignorance. All our ignorance brings us nearer to our death. But nearness to death, no nearer to God. Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? Our age has a heavy heart, heavy with the burden of guilt it has been trying to hide. What we need today is the lift of faith in God. He forgives, he inspires new life, he warms with his love. That's God. He sends his Son to save the lost ones, to give his life as a ransom for the many." When Alexander Graham Bell invented the telegraph, the first message he sent over that wire came from the book of Numbers in the Bible. "What hath God wrought?" God wrought this world of ours. He wrought us. He wrought salvation for this world of ours. He did that in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he has wrought. And he sends his Spirit into the hearts of people, enabling them to say, "Father, our Father." What has God wrought in this world for his people? That saving purpose of his, he wrote into the things he has made. They were meant to be used with reverence and praise for him. That's God in Jesus Christ reconciling this world of ours to himself with his gracious forgiveness. He gives a new kind of gracious life to everyone who puts his trust in God. A man is justified by that faith in God who has shown in Jesus Christ how he feels toward each one of us. That calls for praise. 3 cheers for God and 2 cheers for all the marvelous opportunities he gives in this world of ours to make use of the things he has made. We cannot afford to be taken in by things. They'll always be just things. As one man said to me once, "It's just money." You can say that about anything in this world of ours. It's just a thing. But with God, it becomes a thing for praise. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord," said the singer of Israel. "Praise the Lord for all the things he has made. Praise the Lord who shows us the purpose of things. Praise the Lord who gives us the wit and imagination to produce new things. 2 cheers for that technology and 3 great big cheers for God. As I live," said the psalmist, "I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. May he be pleased with my song because he makes me glad." That's life. It is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's a new kind of life, taking things as they are and using them with the intelligence God gives, with the faith he inspires, and with the love he pours into the hearts of all who see him as the center of everything. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is your creation. And I, for one, am mighty glad to be a part of it. I am, O God, in Jesus Christ, most cordially yours. Amen.